A Missoula officer is in the hospital after being shot during an undercover drug operation. Good evening, I'm Madeline Beck.
And I'm Connor Ballantyne, and that's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition.
Flathead reporter Katrin Fry takes us to farms helping people with disabilities. And in our feature interview, reporter Edward O'Brien talks to the director of a Missoula YMCA about their programs going beyond the health and wellness facilities. State investigators say a Missoula police detective was shot during an undercover investigation in which the suspect reportedly tried to take the drugs. The Montana Department of Justice's Division of Criminal Investigation said the detective was involved in a narcotics transaction in his vehicle yesterday afternoon when the suspect pulled a weapon on the officer. Both men were shot. The suspect tried to flee but was apprehended by the backup officers. The Justice Department issued a statement today saying the 33-year-old officer spent the night in the hospital and was expected to be released today. The suspect, a 25-year-old man, was treated for a gunshot wound and released from the hospital and booked into the Missoula County Jail. Jail officials declined to confirm his name.
And in other news from around the state, U.S. attorneys prosecuting a Kalispell woman charged with pushing her new husband off a cliff in Glacier National Park say they want to present evidence that she lied about being abused by former boyfriends and that she told someone in June that she could kill her parents. Documents filed Monday in the case against 22-year-old Jordan Lynn Graham offer reasons why jurors should be allowed to hear that evidence. Graham is charged with first-degree murder in the July 7th death of Cody Lee Johnson. Her trial is set to start a week from Monday. Graham's attorneys have said she pushed Johnson in self-defense. Documents filed by Graham's attorneys this week indicate plea negotiations stalled last Wednesday. Attorney Michael Donahoe is seeking a settlement conference.
A Whitefish woman is charged with a felony assault with a weapon after her husband was stabbed in the chest. The Missoulian reports Flathead County prosecutors filed a charge against 39-year-old Anne Marie Newton yesterday. She remained jailed today. Newton was arrested Monday evening after Whitefish police responded to a report of a stabbing at a residence not far from the police station. Officers found 37-year-old Chad Newton lying on the kitchen floor with a knife wound in his chest. He underwent surgery Monday night and remained in critical condition in the intensive care unit yesterday. Police Chief Bill Dial says initial reports indicate a domestic dispute led to the stabbing. Child Protective Services placed the couple's two children with a family friend.
Ravalli County Commissioners have drafted a letter of apology to the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes for derogatory comments made at the end of a meeting about tribal land in the Bitterroot Valley. Last week, tribal members attended a county commission meeting to explain the importance of the tribal land known as Medicine Tree and the reason it wants to place it in trust with the federal government. The commission opposed the move because the county would lose $808 in property taxes. At the end of the meeting, the planning board chairman said law enforcement officers in Haver had complained to him about their jails being filled with, quote, drunken Indians, end quote. The letter drafted yesterday apologizes to tribal members, saying those comments did not represent the opinion of the board or the majority of county residents.
State wildlife officials said they weren't sure how much interest there would be in salvaging road-killed animals for food. But with 11 permits issued in the first 2 days they were available, clearly the interest is there. Fish, Wildlife, and Park spokesman Ron Osheim tells the Missoulian 3 permits were requested for animals killed in Flathead County, with one each issued in Missoula, Broadwater, Jefferson, Madison, Powell, and Lewis and Clark counties. 2 elk, 1 mule deer, and 8 whitetail deer were claimed between Monday night and midday yesterday. People wanting to salvage deer, elk, antelope, or moose killed by vehicles must apply for a free permit within 24 hours and must remove the entire animal. People are urged to use caution in determining if the meat is safe to eat.
A Corvallis man was more than a little surprised when he received a notice from the Social Security Administration saying he owed the agency nearly $2,000 due to a clerical error made decades ago. Rudolph Weiglian told the Ravalli Republic he thought someone had stolen his Social Security number because he didn't have any claims with the agency. He called and learned the error was related to survivor benefits his mother received after his father died in 1965. Weiglian said he can't believe the agency is trying to collect an overpayment from almost 40 years ago. He said the man he spoke with at Social Security had never seen a case dating back that far. Weiglian says he's going to the Social Security office in Missoula to dispute the claim.
The idea of farm work as therapy takes root in the Flathead, with several working farms opening their doors a couple times a week to people with disabilities. Flathead reporter Katrin Fry takes us to some of these care farms, starting with a West Valley farm and ranch that's been in the same family for three generations.
The farm goes back, I believe, 1893, I think it is. And we are registered as a centennial farm, 100-year-old farm. And that's the name of the farm, a centennial farm.
Les Keller's grandfather started the farm. Then his father took over. He's running it now. And someday, his son will take over.
Mostly hay, hay production, and we board and pasture horses. And now being involved in the care farm, which is, to me, it's my thing. And I would much rather do that 7 days a week than do all the production agriculture.
2 days a week, three men come to work on Keller's farm.
Right now, we are headed to the woods, and we're doing some thinning in about a 200-acre tree farm, and we got a bonfire going.
The road from the Keller's homestead heads across a field tucked in up against a woody hillside. Up into the woods, we follow Keller's two dogs. We're in his pickup truck, but Logan Wisdom and Dustin Slater follow behind on two of Keller's four-wheelers. Slater says they've been working all morning on clearing out this space, which will be a type of picnic area along the hiking biking trails Keller's been cutting through the woodland.
Well, we're taking out the good wood for selling for less, you know, so we were picking up the wood, putting it on the fire. We started this little trail. We started a trail so that way he can take a four-wheeler down here.
Slater has been coming out to work 2 days a week for about 2 months. There's a slash pile burning with various stumps and small diameter trees, too small for firewood burning. Wisdom is pushing down some of the smaller trees to bring to the fire.
Well, I'll push these dead trees down. This, like this one. I push it down until I see the woods.
The Flathead Valley has seven care farms as of last spring. It's an effort spearheaded by Martin Fisher of the A-plus Home Healthcare of the Flathead. Fisher also teaches a multifunctional agriculture course at Flathead Valley Community College.
You know, if you look back 50, 60 years, it was very normal for people with disabilities to work on farms, because on a farm they could help milk cows. And the thing on a farm is that anyone, regardless of your ability, can help and can be part of the work.
Fisher moved to Northwest Montana from the Netherlands, where he says there are about 1,600 care farms.
It just seems to be a magic formula to be out in the open, be around animals, work with the dirt, have fixed routines, and there's just a lot of people who have difficulty being out there in the big world seem to really do very well at a farm.
There are costs. Fisher says the people involved frequently have not had a job and are homebound.
And so we can't expect them to be productive members on the farm. They sure help, but work is not the purpose of our program. Our programs are designed to get them participating, get them out and about, stop a cycle of depression and loneliness, those kinds of things.
The farmers get paid for their time to free them up for the day. It is real, physical labor, but not at the production level a farmer would generally need to be working at.
So many people, when they have a high need of care, they tend to, society doesn't have places for them. And that leads to more and more issues. And by, you know, being out of the farm, everyone can feel full. And somehow that seems to do them a great deal of good.
At the Lighthouse Christian Home near Summers, Sarah Maldonado heads out in the mornings to feed the cows.
That's a lot of hay. Holy cow.
The property has a large garden, but Maldonado says they've already had their harvest festival.
Pumpkins and carrots and lots of stuff. Pumpkins and carrots and onions and potatoes and beets and, yeah.
What do you like the best?
I like beets.
Executive Director of the Lighthouse, Shirley Willis, says a founding principle of the organization is connecting residents with real, productive work.
We're a group home for individuals with developmental disabilities, but we are faith and farm-based, and so our farm portion of our program is the fact that we raise cows and chickens and pigs, and we have garden and flower beds, and the individuals that live here, they work the farm.
Lighthouse has 12 people living there. Chickens swarm as Kristen Tweet feeds them and gets them fresh water. Kathleen Hansett is searching the roost for fresh eggs.
Oh, look at here. There's three.
Hansett started coming to the lighthouse this past spring for weekly visits.
It was one of the very positive things that has happened to me since I've been here in the valley. And the people here have ministered to me in a way by showing me affection and love and acceptance. And I think of them somewhat of a family to me.
Hansett was connected to the Lighthouse through the Area Agency on Aging. This is the new part of the Lighthouse program. Working with Fisher, Lighthouse teamed up with the agency to become a care farm. Director of the Agency on Aging, Lisa Shepherd, says the weekly trips to the farm stand in place of respite care. Usually, respite care involves a trained nurse coming into the home to give a caregiver or partner a break. Shepherd says they've been extending the program to seniors who, for whatever reason, are becoming isolated. And she says they intend to keep expanding that option.
If I had to pick one thing that is the single most issue, difficult issue facing older adults, I think it's that loneliness and that social isolation.
And that's a primary goal behind the care farms, reconnecting people with mental or physical health issues with community through real, useful work and socializing. Catherine Fry reporting from the Flathead.
Some of us will soon be hitting the gym to work off the weight we've gained as a result of all the holiday treats and feasts. The YMCA welcomes people to consider its gym and swim services. But John Lang, the executive director and chief executive officer of the Missoula Family YMCA, says the organization offers much more than health and wellness facilities. In tonight's feature interview, Lang details some of those programs. He tells Edward O'Brien the YMCA has always been a part of his life.
I grew up at Y Camp. I had no clue it was a Y Camp. I just thought the counselors were the coolest. And so one day as a camper, I decided I wanted to be one. Got into the leadership training program, was lucky enough to be hired as a staff person, and really kind of solidified my working with people as a result of this camp experience. Was lucky enough to get into the building. I started a YMCA from scratch 2 years out of college, which was a unique and really wonderful opportunity. And my passion for the Y and my passion for the mountains intersected 28 years later as I came to Missoula about 2.5 years ago.
From Wisconsin, is that right?
Yep. Someone told me that Montana is like the Midwest on steroids. Everything's bigger. There we have deer. Here we have elk. You know, there our ski runs are 200 vertical feet. Here they're 2,000. You know, it's a whole lot bigger out here.
Well, that's what draws many of us out here.
I love it. Yeah. I absolutely love it.
Well, it's understandable when you were a little kid having a great time at these camps, but what kept your interest piqued as an adult?
So, again, a great story. I heard the story of the starfish. It's a little kid. He's walking on the beach, and he sees all these starfish wash up on shore. And if he doesn't get them back into the water, the sun's going to dry them out, and they're going to die. And there's an old man in the balcony of his hotel room watching this little kid throw starfish into the ocean. But the beach is littered with hundreds of thousands of them. And so by day three, the old man figures he's going to set the kid straight, and he comes down and he taps the kid on the shoulder and he says, you can't possibly make a difference. And the little boy looks up at him and says, oh yeah, reaches down, grabs a starfish and chucks it in the ocean and says, I made a difference in that one's life, didn't I? And I heard that story somewhere in my early 30s and I realized that's exactly what had happened to me at camp, is this was this world that made an absolute difference in my life. And boy, the Y could do that for people. We take people of all ages who come in here to learn something and normally to stretch and to grow. And by building a relationship with them, we can ask them maybe to come out of their comfort zone and to grow and to learn something different, whether it's to learn how to swim or to go back to work after you've had your first child, or you've had three kids and you're 45 and you're saying, I've got to do something for myself, and you come in and on a Monday morning and start coming to an exercise class. We get to change people's lives one person at a time.
Which is funny, because when I generally think of the collective YMCA, I think mostly of a gymnasium, but your services are not limited to just that.
You know, I don't think you're alone. I think people do see us as the gym and swim that we are, but we've got so many more activities that we do. I mean, we're the largest provider of childcare in Missoula. One out of every 10 kids that goes to kindergarten comes from one of our early childhood education centers, for instance.
Why is that important? What does that do for these children as they go into kindergarten later?
Well, in today's world, we know there are certain things that kids need to succeed, and great education is absolutely one of them. We want to make darn sure those kids are ready. The day they show up at kindergarten, their kindergarten readiness helps them in their learning. The next kind of critical piece is third grade reading score. So our after-school programs all have homework help as a part of them. Our summer day camp is done in such a way that the kids are actually learning things all summer long instead of losing what they learn during the school year. If we're going to nurture the potential of every child in our youth development programs, we've got to focus around what kids need to succeed.
Speaking of school, we're just on the cusp of the holiday season, and the kids will be at home for extended vacations for a while, which on the one hand can be a great thing, but can also be a crazy maker, I can assume, on the other. And the Missoula Family YMCA actually has programs to address that. You actually transform your gym several times a week.
That's right. We have a great Kids Day Out program. So when parents are faced with that question during the holidays or during the school breaks, of what do I do with my kids? And maybe it's not the whole week, but it's part of the week. People could certainly call here and get involved in the Kids Day Out program. They sign up by day, so with kind of crazy holiday travel schedules, you may be able to make it Monday and Tuesday, but not Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's fine. We can handle you.
So what does that mean? What sort of activities are there?
It's a full day of activities, so it's indoor and outdoor stuff depending on weather, sports, games, some play in the youth center. Sometimes they'll do some quiet time as well. It just depends on the nature of the group.
These video games, there's a bunch of new systems being released, and if you don't want your kid necessarily staring at the Xbox and PlayStation, there are other alternatives out there.
Yeah, the screen time isn't something we're so hot on here. What we know is that in average, kids right now are spending 7.5 hours a day in front of a screen, and when I grew up, that screen was a black and white television with three stations and rabbit ears.
That's right.
And now you look at phones, you look at iPads, you look at computers, you look at video games, and then you look at TV and the plethora of choices that people have on TV. It's no wonder that there's a sedentary lifestyle that's being developed that we've got to work to change.
So how does membership work? Monthly dues, yearly, what?
So people come to the Y, they join, and they can pay on a monthly bank draft, for instance, and they go as long as they want to go. They certainly can buy a year membership if they want, or we do short-term memberships as well, but that's that you would pay for up front. But really, then a lot of things open up to you. So with family membership, for instance, our youth sports programs are free, or swimming programs at a reduced rate. Most of our group exercise classes are part of the membership as well as use of the facilities. So it's a full package. It really, really a lot of different programs for all ages, from preschoolers on up.
A lot of Montanans, a lot of Missoulians have a tough time making ends meet, and a membership may be a little bit out of their reach. Are these folks just out of luck?
No. One of the things that I'll say, the Missoula Family YMCA has been a leader in the nation and is making sure that nobody's turned away due to a family's finances. And we scholarship people all the time just based on where their income's at. I mean, we want to make sure that everyone has a chance to participate in the Y. And nobody's turned away. We raise money for that every year. Our annual campaign is a January-February program, and we make asks to people, asking them to support this, which the community does so generously. We have got about 140 volunteers that go out raising money to really fund the promise that nobody's turned away.
Is that getting more difficult as time goes on?
Just the opposite, actually. Mm-hmm. I think what we've seen is people in Missoula have opened their hearts and opened their wallets. 2 years ago, we raised $260,000. Mm-hmm. And last year, our goal was $275,000. I quipped, if we do $300,000, I'll shave my head, and was bald. At the end of the campaign, we raised $320,000 last year, a $60,000 increase from the previous year, just to support that promise.
Wow. Opening hearts, opening wallets makes me think of the Angel Tree program.
Well, and we do that as well. In fact, Doreen, this is something that she's done here for years and years, and people, it'll probably go up next weekend, but people will be able to come in and pick up their ornament, which, and I say that in air quotes, because it really gives you the profile of a child and what they'd like, and then we package things up and send them to schools for distribution before Christmas.
New Year's Day, maybe we shouldn't get ahead of ourselves, but you do have a New Year's Day program coming up.
Yep, we open the Y for a couple hours, and it's really just kind of a come on in and exercise. Thanksgiving now is the same deal, 9 to 12. You bring a canned good, and you can use the Y for free. And we've had great response there, too, especially Thanksgiving morning. You know, it's the weird time of the day. You know, the feast hasn't been set out, and a lot of times little kids are running around getting underfoot. And so it's a great time to come bring the family down to the Y.
So we've specifically been talking about the Missoula Family YMCA, but there are other Y programs across Montana, yeah?
Oh, yeah. We've got six different Ys in the state of Montana. We're in Dillon and Butte, Helena, and the Gallatin Valley, and then in Billings as well. So Ys around the state, about 70,000 folks are members of the YMCA Montana.
And how can people find out more?
Any one of our websites, or certainly they can call us here and we can direct you very specifically based on what you're looking for. Beyond Montana, there are over 800 YMCAs, corporate YMCAs, 2,700 facilities in the United States, and we're all part of an AWAY program, which stands for Always Welcome at YMCA. So if you're traveling, you take your Y card to any Y, and almost every Y will allow you in free, some at a reduced rate, but most Ys allow you in free, and you're a member here, you're a member there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you don't have to be a young man, and you don't have to be a Christian, right?
No, you know, at best, we're an association of people. You know, in 1844, we were founded because seven guys started reading the Bible and doing prayer in an apartment. That's where we started, and the YMCAs, as they came to the United States, transformed and became much greater, really focusing on the physical. But yet, if you look around YMCAs in the nation, you'll see that YMCAs are not all centered around physical activity. Our YMCAs in Sierra Leone, which we have a strong partnership with here, are focused on vocational education, giving young people the tools they need to succeed in a vocational field in Sierra Leone, or juvenile justice and youth justice programs are huge in the Sierra Leonean YMCA. Very different. So we like to say you've seen one Y, because we're specifically there to work on what the community needs are. This is my 30th year in the Y, and I would just say that I'm absolutely proud to be serving the people of Missoula through this organization. It's a great place to be. You will find kind of a loving and family atmosphere here, where people really do live by those basic values that we hear so much about on Sunday morning.
John Lang, Executive Director of the Missoula Family YMCA. Thank you so much for your time and letting people know what's going on at the
It's my pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you so much, Ed.
Happy holidays to you.
And to you, sir.
Now for tonight's forecast. West of the Divide tonight should be mostly cloudy with patchy freezing fog and lows 14 to 21 degrees. Tomorrow, there's a slight chance of light freezing rain and highs in the 30s to lower 40s. Central Montana tonight will be partly cloudy with lows in the 20s, and tomorrow expect highs 40 to 50 degrees. Southwest Montana tonight should be partly cloudy with lows 20 to 30 degrees. Tomorrow, look for partly cloudy skies with highs 40 to 45 degrees. And now for the editorial comments of Kara Kolovich.
Thank you.
It's hard to imagine 50 or even 100 years ago that the way to a more prosperous life then could lead to hardship for future generations. Having a car meant you could commute to that higher-paying job on the other side of town. Then you could finally afford that big house you've been dreaming of. And why not fly to Disneyland for a family vacation? But this prosperous life comes at what cost? Climate change has been a proven scientific fact for decades now, yet America has made few major commitments to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. In order to reduce our emissions, we must have an effect both on the supply and the demand sides of our energy consumption. We as consumers need a diet from our carbon dioxide saturated lifestyles, but our industries who supply us with the energy should also cut back on their emissions. This is just what the Environmental Protection Agency is requiring industry to do. In September of this year, the EPA announced its second round of proposed carbon dioxide pollution standards for future power plants. By implementing innovative technologies such as carbon capture and storage and modern natural gas combustion systems, future power plants will keep more pollution out of our air. Some say this regulation will be the end to coal. But when we look at the number of new coal-fired power plants that have been built over the years, we see that there's a downwards trend. The energy sector is already moving towards natural gas, which is more plentiful and accessible than coal. Plus, it's cheaper. The coal industry talks a lot about clean coal. But coal-fired power plants, as they currently stand, are still built very dirty. In other words, they emit a lot of carbon and other types of pollution. The EPA's proposed rule would incentivize the development of technologies like carbon capture and storage that will allow the term clean coal to regain its proper use. By implementing clean coal technologies that are truly clean, this is a way for coal to stay in the energy mix of this country. Renewable and low-carbon energies are the way of the future, with growth of these industries taking off on a global scale. Here in Montana, we are fortunate to have one of the highest wind energy potentials in the country. With the decline of coal power plants coming online, wind could become the transition energy boost for Montana's economy. According to the Natural Resources Defense Council, quote, a single 150-megawatt wind project in Montana could produce 806 jobs and $81.2 million in local economic activity during its construction phase. Operating the plant would generate 42 full-time equivalent local jobs and $6.1 million in economic benefit to the local economy each year, end quote. Other energy sources, such as solar, geothermal, and hydroelectricity, are viable sources for parts of Montana as well. As a college student, this is an exciting transition time with so many new frontiers to explore. There's the clean energy industry, green business, smart technology, green architecture, and so many more, all with the idea of having less of an impact on our planet and creating more resilient communities. The young people of today see this transition not as an obstacle, but rather as an opportunity, a chance to make a thriving future. Today's youth are taking an action worldwide on climate change. Just this year, five students from the University of Montana attended a national climate change conference where 7,000 young climate activists converged to take action on climate change. They shared experiences, voiced their desire for divestment from dirty energy and investment in clean energy, and brought back leadership skills to their communities. Students are also taking an action on a global scale. Three students from UM were in Warsaw, Poland this past week for the United Nations Climate Change Conference, where they observed how entire nations are preparing for the effects of climate change. The movement of inspired youth is growing. We want action on climate change, and we want it now. As I look to the future, what do I see? I envision our communities to be built around inward development focused on local economies. I envision businesses reducing their impacts on natural resources at the demand of stakeholders. I envision a society where our energy sources have minimal impacts to our health and to our wild outdoors, a place that is safe, healthy, and enjoyable to live.
While I know change won't happen overnight, I am advocating for steps like the EPA's carbon pollution standards for new power plants that will get us there. Just like generations before me, all I want is a truly prosperous future for my children. So please, show the EPA that we want a cleaner energy future by supporting their carbon pollution standard for new power plants. Thank you for listening. My name is Kara Kolovich, a student at the University of Montana, and I hope you all are having a wonderful Thanksgiving. Cheers!
Kara Kolovich is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed don't necessarily represent those of the station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Connor Ballantyne.
And I'm Madeline Beck. Thanks for listening, and please join Edward O'Brien tomorrow at 7, 8, and 8:30 for Montana Morning News, and have a happy Thanksgiving.